John Bachman, who pierces people's face. The K is for the kill, L is for the lover, and the M is for the mutiny, and I wish it didn't happen.
Pirate radio, pirate radio, pirate radio, arg, arg, arg. Pirate radio, pirate radio, pirate radio, where's my drop?
Now the N is for not, oh no, my phone's just sinking. The B is for the peg leg that keeps me standing up. A Q is for quantum leap, R is for the rum, and the S is for the scurvy, which I wish I didn't get.
Pirate radio, pirate radio, pirate radio, arg, arg, arg.
That's underneath my boat. And B is for Mukitas, who plays a sour note. W is Tiasis, X marks a spot. Why? Cause I'm a pirate.
Pirate radio, pirate radio, pirate radio, arg, arg, arg. Pirate radio, pirate radio, pirate radio, where's my grog?
This is WSQT Direct Action Radio, broadcasting on 90.5 FM from Washington, D.C. If you can hear this signal and you like what you hear, send an email to WSQTRadio@hushmail.com. Repeat, WSQTRadio@hushmail.com.
Welcome to Palestine Today, a service of the International Middle East Media Center, www.imemc.org, for Tuesday, April 10th, 2012. Welcome to Palestine 2012, officially launched today while Israeli invasions and arrests reported in the West Bank. These stories and more coming up. Stay tuned. The Welcome to Palestine organizers officially launched the campaign on Tuesday in a press conference that took place in the city of Bethlehem, southern West Bank. Welcome to Palestine 2012 will again challenge Israel's policy of isolating the West Bank. In today's press conference, the mayor of Bethlehem, Dr. Victor Batarsa, welcomed the visitors to his city.
We'd like to welcome and appreciate the presence of 1,200 ambassadors for justice and peace into our land. Your mission and vision have uplifted our spirit for achieving restorative justice. It makes us feel that we are not left alone during these difficult circumstances, overshadowing our holy town and region.
The Israeli government ordered high security measures at Ben Gurion Airport in Tel Aviv and called Welcome to Palestine campaign participants as hooligans and troublemakers. Dr. Abdel Fattah Abu Sroor, one of the campaign organizers, responded at Israel's claims.
They are coming to Palestine. They are not coming to make destruction or explode airports or attacking Israelis. They are coming to share a bit of humanity and culture and support the Palestinian people despite being under occupation.
This is the second Welcome to Palestine campaign to be organized by over 25 Palestinian NGOs in the West Bank. In July 2011, around 650 people signed up and purchased tickets to come to Palestine. However, over 350 of them had their reservations revoked one day before the travel date based on instructions from the Israeli Ministry of Interior sent to the airline companies. Last year, over 120 passengers were also denied entry at Ben Gurion Airport as they declared their intentions to visit Palestine. This year, visitors are expected to arrive on Sunday, April 15th. In other news, Israeli soldiers invaded on Tuesday at dawn the town of Yatta near the southern West Bank city of Hebron, broke into and searched homes and abducted three residents. While in northern West Bank, Israeli troops stormed the village of Yadmun near Jenin City. Soldiers searched and ransacked homes before leaving. No arrests were made. And that's all for today from the IMEMC News. This was Tuesday, April 10th, daily news roundup from the occupied Palestinian territories. Please join us again tomorrow for more news and updates. Visit our website at www.imemc.org. Today's report has been brought to you by Hassan Kassis and Ghassan Bandura.
Afghanistan, Friday. NATO is reporting the death of a soldier of unreported nationality from an insurgent attack in an undisclosed location in eastern Afghanistan. Afghanistan, last Thursday. NATO is reporting the death of a soldier of unreported nationality from an IED blast in an undisclosed location in southern Afghanistan. Afghanistan, Friday. A NATO drone helicopter crashed Friday in northern Baghlan province. NATO only admits it crashed. The Taliban claims they shot it down. Afghanistan, ongoing. General John Allen has assigned U.S. soldiers known as Guardian Angels to guard sleeping U.S. soldiers against execution by soldiers of the Afghan army whom they are supposed to work with. This is after 20% of all deaths of American soldiers this year in Afghanistan were at the hands of Afghan soldiers and police that turned their weapons against the invaders. This has become especially common since a Quran burning incident earlier this year, which was preceded by Marines urinating on the bodies of the dead and followed by the March 11th massacre of 17 Afghan civilians by at least one American soldier. Afghanistan, ongoing. The Afghan government has agreed that all night raids, symbols of terror in Afghanistan since the Soviet war, will be conducted by an all-Afghan body called the Afghan Operational Coordination Group. House raids must now be done in accordance with Afghan law, and houses will only be searched by Afghan forces. Importantly, the document also says U.S. forces can support, quote, only as required or requested. That does not mean the raids and civilian deaths will end, but it should slow them down and greatly weaken them. This is how the U.S. was eased out of Iraq, one step at a time. France, ongoing. The socialist candidate for the French presidency has vowed to remove French troops from Afghanistan, with right-winger Sarkozy wanting to hold to the U.S. timetable, and the socialist candidate saying he will remove all French troops within 7 months. Just like Iraq, the so-called coalition is being whittled down one country at a time. Speaking of Iraq, Sunday, a roadside bomb killed three policemen in Khan Bali Saad, south of Bakuba. Mr. Barack Obama, occupation didn't work in Iraq and it won't work in Afghanistan. Now is the time to do as the French socialist candidate proposes. Throw in the towel and bring the troops home as fast as they can be moved. This is WSQT Direct Action Radio, broadcasting on 90.5 FM from Washington, D.C. If you can hear this signal and you like what you hear, send an email to wsqtradio@hushmail.com. Repeat, wsqtradio@hushmail.com. At about 10 a.m. on the 10th of April, two activists from Occupy DC were arrested in front of the Bank of America branch, Vermont Avenue and L Streets, for sleeping in front of the branch.
It's the Bank of America at Vermont Avenue and L
Streets. How come the biggest guy went after Rudy?
Now, our protest is now being arrested here at the Bank of America in Washington, DC at Vermont L.
In addition to the arrest, there were a lot of cops standing around glowering at everybody and demanding that videographers back up.
it was hard for people to shoot video from close enough to get decent sound.
Yeah, shoot twice.
You don't
back
got
to
be nasty. Up. You ain't got to be nasty.
That was the sound of handcuffs closing on two Occupy DC activists in front of the Bank of America at Vermont and L Street. Despite all the cops, other protesters had something to say about Bank of America throwing people out on the street and how it's appropriate that people are now sleeping in front of Bank of America.
Bank of America took my house. I'm really grateful.
There's people sitting on sidewalks all over the city.
Now we have a test case to fight in court.
People sitting on sidewalks.
That's okay.
Solidarity forever.
We love you, Hess. We love you, Rudy.
We shall live forever.
The protesters weren't blocking anything, but cop cars were blocking everything in the area.
Hey, those guys are obstructing a door over there.
Wow, that door is obstructed.
Hey, that door is obstructed across the street.
That parking meter is obstructed as well.
Look at that, the parking meter.
And the bike rack is obstructed.
Come on, guys, do something. Look, the block and shit. Were you arrested for someone for sitting on the public sidewalk?
Of course, we all know the cops aren't going to discipline themselves for blocking the streets and blocking traffic while protecting Bank of America from the consequences of all their foreclosures and evictions. It was in Sanford, Florida, that Neighborhood Watch Captain George Zimmerman stalked and killed Trayvon Martin. This murder turned a national spotlight on this gated community, and George Zimmerman is hiding from popular vengeance in a $10,000 bounty placed on his head by the New Black Panthers. Now Sanford, Florida, has taken racism to yet another level. The so-called National Socialist Movement, a neo-Nazi group, now has at least 10 armed thugs patrolling the streets of Sanford. This is according to Jeff Schlepp, one of their leaders. Since Sanford, Florida is a gated community, the implication is that the Nazis have official permission to be there, carrying guns like a bunch of SS stormtroopers. Given that Nazis, by definition, advocate wholesale extermination of African Americans as well as Jews, this is an extraordinarily ugly development. In fact, this says much about the character of Sanford and explains in part just how it was that a neighborhood watch captain and wannabe cop felt he had a license to chase down every black teenager he saw on the street. There is even a report that Zimmerman once reported a 9-year-old African-American child to the police as suspicious. As of now, the swastika flies over Sanford, the racist Florida-gated community where Trayvon Martin was murdered. The question is, what are people going to do about it? Are we going to let literal jackbooted thugs with guns own the streets of an American community? Or will they be stopped from their planned Holocaust like they were in World War II? On the 7th of April, the Million Hoodie March came to D.C. in memory of Trayvon Martin, murdered by racist vigilante George Zimmerman in Sanford, Florida. The march began at Malcolm X Park and ended at Freedom Plaza, one of two Occupy DC camps in the city. Along the way, the march displayed considerable energy, getting enthusiastic honking from motorists as the march fanned out to both sides of 14th Street. The demand of the march was that stand your ground laws allowing racist whites who perceive the presence of a person of color to shoot first, gotta go. Florida's law, a near verbatim copy of Alex's boilerplate, goes far beyond allowing people to defend their own homes with arms.
In Florida, the Stand Your Ground law then moves past your dwelling, your home, to public places, your vehicle. And so the idea is, you know, if someone comes into my home and attacks me, where normally in self-defense I have to A, retreat before I defend myself, or B, use the force that's used against me, the Stand Your Ground law pretty much says, hey, have at it. So, but the difference is, you, a reasonable person would have to believe that he was threatened. Now, how many people would consider themselves reasonable? I think reasonably. Everyone? Okay. So, how many would reasonably believe that a kid 140 pounds walking in the rain in a hoodie would be suspicious? You can actually be completely honest. I'm not saying that you would go and kill him. What I'm saying is, you think he's suspicious? Okay, not as many people. No. So, if you listen to when Howard Players played the police call, George Zimmerman calls the police, and there's actually a transcript of how many times George Zimmerman has called the police about you. He once reported a 7 to 9 year old black child as being suspicious.
Here's the recording of the 911 call from Zimmerman to the cops, as played back on stage by the Howard Player.
Some break into my neighborhood, which is by Retreating Circle. The address I can give you is 111 Retreating Circle. This guy looks like he's up to no good, or he's on drugs or something. It's raining, and he's just walking around looking about.
Okay, and this guy, do you want black or Hispanic?
He looks black.
Did you see what he was wearing?
Yeah, a dark hoodie, like a gray hoodie, and he was jeans or sweatpants and white tennis shoes. You see him now, he was just staring.
Oh, he's just walking around there.
He had all the houses.
Okay.
And now he's just staring at me.
Okay, he said it's 1111 retreat you or 111?
That's the clubhouse.
That's the clubhouse. Do you know what the... He's near the clubhouse right now?
Yeah, now he's coming towards me.
Okay.
He's got his hand in his waistband. Yeah, he's a black male.
Okay. How old would you say it was?
He's got a button on his shirt. Late teens.
Late teens, okay.
Mm-hmm. Something's wrong with him. Yeah, he's coming to check me out. He's got something in his hands. I don't know what his deal is.
Okay, just let me know if he does anything.
Over here.
Yeah, we got him on the way. Just let me know if this guy does anything else.
Okay. These assholes, they always get away. Yeah. When you come to the clubhouse, you come straight in and make a left. Actually, you go past the clubhouse.
Down there, it says on the left-hand side from the clubhouse?
No, you go in straight through the entrance, and then you make a left. You go straight in. Don't turn and make a left. Shit, he's running.
He's running? Which way is he running?
Down towards the entrance of the neighborhood.
Okay, which entrance is that that he's heading towards?
The back entrance.
Are you following us?
Yeah.
Okay, we don't need to do that.
Okay.
In case you couldn't hear it, the police asked, "Are you following him?" And Zimmerman said, "Yeah." The police said, "We don't need you to do that." Zimmerman ignored the instructions of the police, continued to pursue Trayvon, in the end shot and killed him. Similar things have happened to black and brown youth at least 29 times this year already. A woman whose son was shot and killed by Montgomery County cops spoke at the D.C. rally on Freedom Plaza.
I'm here to support Trayvon Martin's parents and also to make this known to the whole world that it just started and it has been going on forever. My son, 26 years old, was gunned down in a broad daylight by Montgomery County white police officers just because he was at the wrong place at the right time. He went to City Place Hall, a fight broke out, and he was the one yelling for help, but he was the one who ended up getting killed. So this has been going on for a long, long time. I'm here to show my support for the parents. I've been there. This is the worst pain ever that any mother can ever, you know, go through. I mean, I don't wish this on my worst enemy. If you think this can ever happen to you, you better think again. My son was, you know, 3 months child of graduating from Bowie State University when he was gunned down in a broad daylight. I never thought this can happen to me. God has blessed me with 5 beautiful children. They have master's degree. They have first degree. They graduated with honors. So I thought you can only be a drug dealer or selling, doing something in the street corner. But that was not the case with my son. He was just 26 years old, gone down in a broad daylight. So it can happen to you. It can happen to you. It can happen to anybody here.
You heard that. Racist killings aren't limited to wannabe cops like George Zimmerman killing Trayvon Martin. 2 white racists went on a shooting spree in Tulsa, Oklahoma over the weekend and have been caught. And both lynchings and police killings of people of color have been going on for 500 years. Enough is enough! On the 9th of April, Walmart announced they are delaying planned openings of 5 out of 6 of their planned DC stores, in some cases, indefinitely. They credited, quote, resistance from activists and opponents for forcing this decision. This claim, however, does not explain why they still plan to open a store in Ward 4 on Georgia Avenue sometime in 2013. Muriel Bowser is suspected of being behind the continued plans for that site. The old Curtis Chevrolet site has been demolished, and Walmart hopes to break ground there later this spring. This is a location that has faced the most intense opposition from community activists. Dick Knapp of developer Folger Pratt even found protesters on his doorstep not once but twice. According to the Washington Post, the other sites are, quote, components of mixed-use projects that require regulatory approval or the right set of economic circumstances to become viable. Walmart spokesman Steven Restivo called construction times, quote, fluid, claiming this gives his bosses, quote, extra time to further engage with the neighborhoods that surround our stores and build even more support for Walmart. This is a thinly veiled statement that they are having a lot of trouble with community opposition. None of the other 5 locations have been able to get a building permit so far, and at one of them, the Skyland site, the developers and their friends in Mayor Gray's office have not been able to get control of the land. Needless to say, Walmart has not made any claims about an opening date for that store, part of a mixed-use complex that can be blocked by killing any part of the overall plan. The New York Avenue and Fort Totten sites have large track review approval but no building permits as of April 9, 2012. Walmart wants to open at Fort Totten in 2014, has no firm date for New York Avenue. Originally, Walmart wanted to open 4 stores by the end of this year. Now the schedule is none by the end of this year, 1 sometime next year unless we can slow them down some more. Well done, DC community activists!
Chocolate City, this is movement music.
Have you heard the news?
Walmart's coming.
Georgia Avenue, uptown, ain't that something?
Something.
Small businesses, shop owners, hearts pumping, cause they know their livelihoods is about to take a thumping.
Thumping.
See, you can't compete with a superstore who's an importer of slave labors. Craftsmanship, low price to flip to undercut the market, hand over fist.
Walmart
is infamous for the way they behave. Low wage pay, treat the workers like slaves. Employees who try to unionize,
yeah,
soon find themselves in unemployment lines. The way they treat women needs improving. 1.6 million sisters are suing them for being paid less than their male equivalent. On these issues and more, we can't afford to be ignorant.
Keep DC Walmart free.
It won't benefit you or me. They ain't about spreading love in the community. They ain't about chocolate city unity. Opportunists stop to make a buck quick. Suck up all your resources and then they split. They try to come across as if they legit, but really their motives are counterfeit.
This is the Funkinest Journalist with your three Walmart commandments. Step one, move in and crush competition by underselling. Step two, pay workers nothing and block unionization. Step three, take all that money, put it into the Walton Family Foundation, and turn that into political influence to protect yourself and make even more.
Walmart,
it's not a good fit for Chocolate City. Let me holla black at you with the skinny. Important that you clearly understand and remember, DC doesn't work with the right wing agenda. The Walton families are big contributors to bigoted representatives and senators. Trent Lott, sinister, Strom Thurmond, similar, Confederate, state loving George Bush ministers. Oversee a plantation mentality, results in black and brown casualties. Statehood opposition for the district has been supported by Walmart's mischief. The D.C. Voting Rights Act was defeated, assisted via Walmart PACs, and now they wanna come here to see their money stack. Stay up on the facts, Chocolate City, don't relax and fight back.
Keep D.C. Walmart free. It won't benefit you or me. They ain't about spreading love in the community. They ain't about Chocolate City unity. Opportunists out to make a buck quick. Suck up all your resources and then they split. They try to come across as if they legit, but really their motives are counterfeit.
Keep DC Walmart free is an emerging activist group of DC residents stepping up to challenge the corporate big box invasion of Chocolate City. Walmart has plans to establish 4 stores in DC by 2012. Walmarts in DC will threaten small businesses, cause loss of more jobs than it will bring to the community, and lower the wage standards for all workers. To find out more and get involved, visit walmartfreedc.org.